Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Joe Cipriano, who is the Director of Youth Ministry at Most Precious Blood. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Margaret?
I'm doing well, thank you. I've had you here before. We started back September 2011 or so, and I've had you here many months back, but we're not going to talk about youth ministry this time. We're actually going to talk about ministry to adults, and we're going to speak about our up-and-coming cohort with the St. Paul School of Catechesis. So let's go ahead and get started. I'd like the listeners to get to know you a bit better. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, like you said, Margaret, my name's Joe Cipriano, and I work over at Most Precious Blood with the teenagers, the high school and middle school students, and I get to do youth ministry there. But originally, I'm actually from upstate New York, a place called Schenectady, and I grew up there, and faith was a part of my life as a child because my mom was really into church. But, you know, I went through that rebellion stage where I really stopped wanting to be at church and really tried to reject it. And I really came back to a relationship with God in high school. And I remember I was really influenced by my youth minister who, you know, just helped me grow in faith and realize, you know, the deeper meaning behind everything. Because, you know, when I was little, I learned all that stuff about the church, but I never really understood all of it. They were just kind of background noise almost. And it was really his influence that had a big impact on my life. And it's actually, you know, a big part of why I went into doing ministry, because I saw what someone could do when they had, you know, enough training and enough support in their life. And he just knew so much, and he understood things in a way where he could explain it. And I really wanted to that. And I realized I didn't know my faith like I wanted to or like I should. And so I had in my life this real desire to bring people to Christ, but I knew I needed to be, you know, built up and needed to learn more if I'm ever going to share it. And so I ended up going to Franciscan University to study catechetics and theology. And it was, you know, one of the best decisions of my life because they not only formed me intellectually, but spiritually. And so when I first went into ministry, I had this really great, you know, foundation where I could not only, you know, lead teens to Christ, but I could teach the adults that I was working with how to do the same thing and how to help them feel comfortable talking about their faith, because I think we're all a little self-conscious about that. So I moved here to Corpus Christi just a couple years ago, and I've been working at Most Precious Blood. And it's amazing because we have so many great volunteers. And it's funny because you get involved in youth ministry to work with youth. But, you know, as the director of the program, I spend most of my time helping the adults be formed and prepared to work with the teens themselves. And so it's actually a different part of my heart now. But it's something that God's really grown in my life, is just a desire to help support people, because it's a great work, but so many times we just don't feel qualified to do it. So, yeah.
So you mentioned something that brought back memories from my time in youth ministry, where it was that youth minister who had the right type of leadership who was a big influence in my life. And if it wasn't for that youth minister, I wouldn't have studied theology. And so it's important to have these adults, these well-formed adults, lead our young people today. So today we're really going to talk about our first ever cohort. And what that is really is a group of like-minded people with the same end goal. And in this case, the goal is to get through the St. Paul School of Catechesis, 160 hours of formation with 8 classes, 6 core and 2 electives. So, and it's all about Catholic theology and forming oneself in the Catholic faith. I do want to ask you, though, why is it so important for adults to be formed? I mean, I went to catechism all my life. I received my sacraments in 2nd and 8th or 10th grade. and I should be done, shouldn't I? Mm. So why is it so important to continue learning?
Yeah, and I think, you know, some people might feel that way. And most of the adults I feel like I encounter really struggle with a little bit of self-doubt. You know, they feel like they've learned their faith, but they know that there's gaps in what they understand. And the cool thing about our Catholic faith is it does make sense, and it all fits together. And so it's important that you have an understanding of the whole, because it's hard to teach one little aspect of the faith if you don't understand kind of the bigger picture. And I'm really excited to do the cohort because it's more than just an intellectual formation. They get to work together as a group and to grow as a community in how they're serving, because when you're serving the Lord, there's so much more than just the intellectual knowledge, you know? There is a sense that, you know, you yourself have to be formed as a person and have to be formed spiritually and professionally. And if you're really trying to give your best to God, we need to put an effort towards being trained. And so the cohort's a really exciting opportunity rather than just to go to, you know, a class here or there, but to have a consistent group of people to learn with and to help grow together. It's really an exciting opportunity because none of us like to go through things by ourselves. And this is an opportunity to really find community while growing faith and growing in faith. But it's really based on service too, because they're being formed, but they're being formed so that they can pour it out and serve better.
Exactly. So then I'm sure you've heard, and some of our listeners have heard, that formation is lifelong. So what does that mean?
Yeah, well, it's actually kind of a Franciscan spirituality where they talk about everyday conversion, you know, that conversion is a lifelong process. And it's the same thing intellectually and spiritually. We want to grow in our love for God, and we want to grow in our knowledge for God. And the more we grow in our knowledge for God, the more we can grow in our love for God. And so it's important that we continue to be formed. I actually recently just started my master's degree about a year ago. And so I've been growing in my own faith. And even though I have, you know, a bachelor's degree and I've been teaching it for the past few years, it's exciting to continue to hear things new because you approach it differently in different parts of your life. As an adult, I approach the subjects a lot different than I did when I was a college student. And so now, you know, approaching the subject new, I think you can appreciate it in a different way. And so I pray that I'm always learning more about the faith. And, you know, when I'm old and gray and retired, that I'm still learning more, because you can never fully grasp and understand the beauty of who God is.
And the mystery of God. So there's always so much more to learn.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the more that you learn, the more you understand you don't know. And the more you understand that there's more there to find. And you know, it's a beautiful, I think it was Augustine that said, you know, our faith is so beautiful because it's shallow enough for a gnat to wade through, yet deep enough for an elephant to drown in. And so that was his analogy. But basically what that's saying is, you know, even a child can grasp, you know, the beauty of who God is, but the most brilliant intellectual never fully grasp the depth of our faith. And you could spend your entire life and never fully understand it. And so, and not just understand it, but continue to find the depth of it, because you can grasp your faith and then you find a new layer, almost more like, you know, you're slicing through an onion. You get through one layer and you're like, okay, I got that.
And you understand it at a deeper level as you mature as an adult.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's something we were actually talking about earlier, was this idea that, you know, grace builds on nature. And, you know, nature being your own, you know, strength, your own discipline, you know, all the things that you have in your life. And then God raises that up into grace. And so every time you approach the Lord differently, when your nature grows as a parent, you're going to approach the subject different. You're going to understand the love of God in a different way. You know, as an older person, watching your children and your grandchildren grow up, you're going to approach a subject in a different way. And so your nature is always growing. And so you're always going to approach God's grace in a new way, and he's going to continue to raise it up. And so that's what we go through. That's the process of daily conversion every day.
And I want to be encouraging for all of the listeners and all of the adults out there that we understand time commitments are difficult. Mm-hmm. We understand that, hey, I haven't been to formation in 20 years, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So what words of encouragement would you offer people who want to learn more about the faith, but they just haven't taken that first step?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I would say is I'm praying for your courage. I'm praying that God works in your heart and allows you to say yes to, you know, to growing in your faith, because there is a sense that fear can hold you back. You know, I'm you know, I haven't done this in a long time, or I'm not smart enough, or this is going to be
over. I'm not worthy.
Yeah, or I'm not holy enough, or this is going to be over my head. And, you know, there's a real sense that, you know, we're all in it together. And, you know, you're not going through this alone. And no matter where you are, even if you've never, you know, never learned anything about the faith, we'll be able to approach it on a level where, you know, whether you've already gone through a, you know, a degree in theology, you can always learn more and approach the subject in a new way. And if you've never really studied the faith, then you can really grow in this. And so we want to build a foundation for everybody that's there, where they can really get something out of it. So don't be afraid to get involved. Don't be afraid to approach it, because we'll work together. And again, I work with teenagers every day, and a lot of them haven't, you know, heard anything about the faith, or aren't Catholic or Christian, and are coming in. And we explain the gospel in a way that everybody can grasp it and everybody can grow from it.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Crucio is a movement focusing on helping Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in the weekend are numerous talks, some by a priest, some by lay people. The goal is for those attendees to take what they have learned back into the world. An important point that's stressed is personal spiritual development. A Woman's Crucio in English is scheduled for August 15th through 18th at Corpus Christi Crucio Center, 1200 Lantana. To hear more or to register, please call Gloria Franco, 249-2450.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Joe Cipriano, who is the Director of Youth Ministry at Most Precious Blood. Joe, we had a great first segment, and now during the second segment, we're going to talk about the different topics that you will actually be teaching. Mm-hmm. You are the instructor of this cohort, and you've taught in the past for the St. Paul School of Catechesis. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, currently, the way things are set up is if people are in ministry, if they're a catechist, if they're a Catholic school teacher of religion, they're required to be commissioned by the bishop, mm-hmm. sent forth after a certain amount of formational hours. But this is open to any adult. Mm-hmm. At the moment, again, classes are offered in a variety of places in the diocese. But what we're doing is we're taking people from beginning to end with these six core courses and two electives, totaling mm-hmm. 160 formation hours. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk now about the different topics. Mm-hmm. And I'd like for you to just give me a brief understanding of what someone might learn. So the first class, which actually starts September of this year, mm-hmm. is Catholic Doctrine. Mm-hmm. Can you share with me a little bit more about that class?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that class. And it's funny, because when I initially looked at the list of classes that we'd be offering, you know, that's maybe the most intimidating one, because you hear it and you're like, oh, really? I'm going to hear some Catholic doctrine. And you're like, oh, that sounds fun. But the reality is, once we understand what it is, we get a little more comfortable with it. It's actually based on the creed. And, you know, every Sunday at Mass, we stand up and we say the Nicene Creed together. And the class is based off of really explaining point by point what we believe as Catholics. It's based off of the first part of the Catechism. And, again, those are some things that are kind of intimidating, because the Catechism is such a large book, and people look at it and they're like, oh, I don't really know how to approach this. And so one of the things that we're going to teach you is how to use the Catechism effectively. You know, we don't expect you to know every single thing about the faith. But if you know how to use the Catechism, you know where to find the answers. And it comes right from the Church's mouth. And so that's the beautiful part. And so really we're going through the first section of the Catechism, and based on the Creed, and explaining point by point what the Creed is, and different aspects of the Creed. And so I'm excited to teach that, because we can all grow in our understanding that we proclaim every Sunday at Mass and say we believe. So it's good to add understanding to that belief.
And I think it's important for people to realize we don't expect you to know all the answers. We don't know all the answers. Mm-hmm. But Absolutely. If we know where to find the answers mm-hmm. in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. That is a great first step to be able to defend the faith, to be able to share the faith, teach the faith to people that we encounter, and develop ourselves in our faith.
Yeah.
The other class, or the class after Catholic doctrine, will be on prayer and spirituality. Why is it so important to learn about prayer and spirituality?
Oh, gosh. It's so important. You know, I mean, it's the very life of a Christian is having a relationship with God through prayer. And again, a lot of times I think people have misconceptions about what prayer is. We feel like if we don't pray a certain way, we're doing it wrong. When the reality is that, you know, each person is different, and the way that we relate to God is going to be different. And so going through a class on prayer and spirituality, you're going to learn different ways to approach God. And so you're going to find ways that you're comfortable with, that you're really good at, that you've maybe done before. And then you're going to find ways that you're not comfortable with, and, you know, you're growing and you're stretching yourself. And so it's a good way to find different angles to approach God and to approach ourselves, because really we grow personally when we learn how to approach God in different ways.
Now, the class following that, and again, we'll speak more about the schedule, but they do start this September, where someone will go through, let's say, 20 hours of Catholic doctrine, following semester, 20 hours of prayer and spirituality, and then you're going to move on to the Old and New Testament. Now, we've combined these two together, and I can imagine someone might feel threatened, thinking, how am I going to learn all about the Old and New Testament in 20 hours? And that's really not the case. We're just giving a basic overview of scriptural literary forms, divine revelation, and things like that. So speak to us briefly about Old and New Testament.
Yeah. And again, it's important that we have the tools to read Scripture. Because we're not going to ask you to read the entire Bible in the class. And I certainly don't expect, as the instructor, to be able to cover everything that there is in Scripture. But what we want to be able to do is just understand a little bit more of how to read it, so that when you're approaching it, whether you're teaching it or you're doing it for your own personal edification, then you have the tools to go through it. And so we want to equip as many people as possible to read Scripture. And again, it's beautiful. It's such a part of our identity. You go to Mass and Scripture's in everything that we do. And a lot of times people have a misunderstanding about Catholics and their relationship with Scripture. But we're called to love Scripture, and it's called to be a life of prayer through it. And so it's going to be a really exciting class, because we're all going to approach the Word of God in a really special way. So,
following Old and New Testament, you will offer a course through the St. Paul School on liturgy and sacraments. And like I said, some of us receive our First Communion in second grade, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, we step away from the church. And sometimes we'll continue to go to Mass, receive the Holy Eucharist, but I think there's more to that. We have confession. Mm-hmm. There's just so much more to the sacraments that I think people should learn about. So speak a little bit more about liturgy and sacraments.
Yeah, I was actually praying about this the other day. And at the beginning of each Mass, you know, we start with saying, you know, as we prepare to celebrate the sacred mysteries. And a lot of times we approach the sacraments just as a thing that we have to do or supposed to do, and we don't understand the mysterious depth of what the sacraments are. And so throughout this class, we're going to approach the sacraments and really try to get the depth of, you know, what prepared, you know, Jesus Christ to institute the sacraments in those way. You know, where is it in the Old Testament that prepares for the sacraments? You know, how did Jesus Christ, and why did Jesus Christ bring these into our lives? And we're just going to understand the real benefit that it has to us. You know, again, a lot of us approach the sacraments in a way where it's, you know, maybe we were taught it a long time ago, but we never thought about it again. You know, if we haven't learned more about the Eucharist since we went through First Communion, how can we possibly grow in a relationship with the Eucharist? And so we're going to approach each sacrament in a way that hopefully will help us to live a sacramental life, which is what we're called to as Catholics.
And then you'll go through the summit of our Catholic faith, which is the liturgy.
Yeah. And again, going through you know, the liturgy step by step and understanding what it is. And it's really amazing, because we all, you know, are obligated to go to Mass every Sunday. But if we understood the depth I mean, I was in a class the other day talking about just what it means to put your hand in the holy water and how it reminds you of baptism and how it calls you to live a Christian life and how, you know, we ask for the same mercy that we received at baptism. We get a bit of that grace of mercy. And so, you know, we'll walk you through every step of the liturgy, you know, from the moment you put your hand into the holy water font to the time when you receive the Eucharist to the very end when you're sent out on a mission and commissioned at the end of Mass. And so there are so many beautiful things that's going to help you pray better as a Catholic.
Following liturgy and sacraments, you're going to speak about the wonderful topic of morality.
Yeah, and honestly, sometimes people get nervous with that, but that's because people take the negative approach to morality. You know, it's a list of things we can't do. But when you look through the Catechism, it actually starts with a list of the virtues. And we actually just spent the summer going through the virtues with our teenagers. And it's a powerful way of living your life. And so, again, the more you know about what God is asking you to do, the more you're going to be able to live it out.
And you're going to want to live it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, there's going to be that desire to live a Christ-like life.
Yeah, and again, it's all based on a relationship. If you see morality as how to live in relationship with your Lord and God, rather than, you know, as, you know, some people look at it as a father that is very strict, but that's not it at all. It's a father that you love and that you, you know, we don't commit those sins because we don't want to offend our father and we don't want to hurt that relationship. And God gives us morality. He gives us those things so that we can live our faith and so that for our benefit, so that we can be happy. Because when we sin, it ultimately leads to sadness and despair. And so
destruction, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then finally, out of the six core classes, you will end with evangelization and catechesis.
Yeah, and I love that class. And I've taught it a few years at the summer sessions that y'all do. But it's beautiful because basically after we've learned all these things, we get to get real practical and how to apply it and what the church asks us to do when we share our faith. And the reality is, and I love this, it's from a document called Evangelium Nuntiani, and it says, evangelization is in fact the grace and vocation proper to the church. Her deepest identity, she exists in order to evangelize. And so when you go through, you know, all this training and you have all these gifts that are welling up inside of you, we get to finally share it. And we get to live out our deepest identity as Catholics. And so it's such a beautiful class and such an exciting class. And so it's kind of the crescendo of, you know, we learned all these things. Now we're going to go out and serve just like Christ when he commissioned his apostles.
So I'm really excited about this cohort. I'm excited that you'll be teaching it, and I hope we do get some people to sign up to learn more about their faith. Mm-hmm. If you would like more information, please call the Office of Religious Education at 361-882-6191. Thank you, Joe, for being with us. Mm-hmm. Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
While aromatherapy is not a modern invention, in recent years it has become so fashionable that manufacturers have found new ways to bring scented products into our homes, offices, and cars. There are air fresheners that hang, spray, and plug in, scented oils in different colors and containers, some with a floating wick to be lit like a candle, others with wand-like sticks that soak up the oil and release it into the air. And of course, there are the old standbys, scented candles and incense on a stick. The use of herbs and spices to produce incense as burnt offerings to the pagan gods has been around almost since the dawn of man. Their usage became ritualized as religions became more developed. The high cost usually meant they were reserved for worship. Only the very wealthy or the dead could use them. Today, we are familiar with frankincense and myrrh from the scripture stories we have heard since we were children. Long before the current hubbub of aromatherapy, candles and oil lamps were being used by man to light the dark, and they were used in places of worship to light up the golden image of the man-made idols some people worshipped. Over time, they came to be used to symbolically present our petitions to God and to signify the presence and glory of God in places of worship. Many Catholics have taken the practice of burning candles into their homes, where they often have prayer altars or home shrines. Whenever a special need arises, a votive candle may be lit to a particular saint to ask for his or her intercession on our behalf. How often has your mother suggested to you that you light a candle? Sometimes she might recommend a novena, 9 days of formalized prayer used for really important or great needs. Unfortunately, for many people, the use of this beautiful tradition has become so habitual that its meaning has become lost or distorted. They superstitiously think that lighting a candle will solve their problems, soothe their stress, restore their health, or bring them great riches. As their actions lose meaning, they begin to forget what they are doing and why. The light from the candle no longer lights their life with faith and reason, but becomes a symbol of the world and worldly concerns. Once we arrive there, the candle's significance is lost. It's just there. It becomes much like a picture of our deceased loved ones we forget is hanging on the wall, just like we forget to extinguish the candle when we leave the house. That forgetfulness can lead to the loss of our home by fire. As a result, our worldly concerns grow greater, and we abandon God because He didn't listen to us. When we forget the meaning of our worship and its traditions, when we no longer consider what we are doing, we forget. We turn inward towards ourselves rather than outward toward God. We are no longer open to Him. This happened to the Pharisees. They turned their faith into a practice of ritual without meaning, because they were so caught up in the practice that they forgot the purpose of what they did. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom. 5 came prepared, and 5 were not. Those who were prepared knew what it meant to have a lamp ready for the feast. They did not forget, nor were they forgotten when the banquet began. May your sacred moments bank the fire of your faith and keep its end goal always foremost in your practices. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. It was great to have Joe Cipriano with us, speaking to us about the first ever cohort, a group of like-minded people learning about the Catholic faith. If you would like more information, please call 361-882-6191 and ask for the Office of Religious Education. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.